God's the creator. He said to planets, rotate. They just rotate exactly as he tells them to. Stars blink, bing, 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 for millions of years. They do exactly as he says. He speaks and they stand fast.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. You know, King David was said to be a man after God's own heart. He was known as a servant leader. Now, the idea of being a servant may not sound like the most exciting assignment in the world, but today Pastor Wayne will show us that God takes better care of his servants than the world does for its kings. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, David, Servant of God.
Let's take out our notes as we continue in our brand new series called Heroes of Legendary Faith. People from the past out of Hebrews 11 that God chose, placed in this chapter, call it the Hall of Faith, that are teaching us about things like being a servant, about having faith, as we talked about last week. But today we're going to focus on one person who's going to speak to us out of the past, mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. And other than Jesus himself, this person is very well known. His name is David. Now, we still have a lot to learn about stuff in the Bible. Even though you've been around for a long time, some of you, how many of you would still say, we're just scratching the surface. We got tons to learn still. Raise your hand. Yeah, because once you think, I got it, then we start pointing out the faults in everybody else because they are not there yet. They don't know as much as I do. And you start to see a kind of a critical edge, a complaining, grumbling edge. And that's when your life starts to go down south pretty fast. So you want to watch for those things. When you think you got it all together and you let people know what's wrong with them, then you realize, whoo, something's going funny. As was the story of this Portuguese guy that comes to the library. And he comes up to the library and just walks right up. And he said, I got a complaint. What? She said. The book I got here last week was terrible, terrible book. She said, well, what was wrong with it? He said, that book goes on and on and on, has way too many characters, and there's no plot whatsoever in the whole dumb book. The librarian says, ah, oh, you must be the one who took our phone book. See, when we think we got it down, we don't. And so God put these elite in Hebrews chapter 11, calls it the Hall of Faith, and David is going to speak to us about a key word called serving God. And he's going to talk about that. Now, we've heard that word servanthood as like volunteering for this or volunteering for that. It might include that, but it's far, far deeper. It's an identity. It's your DNA because God created us to serve. We're not creators. We're created. And David, who understands that he's a servant, though he was king and he was known by his constituency as a king, he was known in heaven as my servant. Again and again, you will hear God speaking about David, not only a man after my own heart, but he will call David. You'll see it again and again in the Old Testament. God will say, my servant David, my servant David, my servant David. And I thought, wow. That's what God sees as the most important title we can receive because we're starting to catch who we are. And even the prophets, when God speaks through the prophets about David, they actually call him my servant. Is as we find in Ezekiel, let's read top of our notes the scripture. Go, I will set over them my servant David, and he will feed them and be their shepherd. Yeah. David was someone who knew that he was under submission to his master. In fact, often you will see in the Old Testament, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired of the Lord, and David inquired. In other words, when people would say, should we go after these? Should we attack them? The Lord, David says, I got to ask my master. Wait, I'll be right back. And he inquired of the Lord. I've got to ask my master. Because you see, David, who even in the life of Jesus, you will find a servant. Jesus was known by people as the Messiah, but he was known, and in fact, even referred to himself as a servant of the Most High God. That was the way that he would example to us what our identity is best to be known as. In fact, Jesus once said, I have no will of my own. In fact, he says, my will is not my own. My will is to do the will of him who sent me. That was Jesus. And we begin to understand, you know what? God has created us to serve. That's right. Did you know that we were created to serve the purposes of God? Let's read the next scripture in Acts 13 about David. Go. David had served the purpose of God in his own generation. Yeah. You see, God created us in his image to reflect the glory of God. So we have a purpose in our lives, that is to serve his purposes. And when we think our will is our own, then we actually start to function in a way that we were not designed to function. And pride starts to set in. We get susceptible to arrogance. We get susceptible to being duped. When we think we can create, we can control, we're in charge, we own now. And then we start to want things in our image. Well, you see, the Bible says God created us in what? In his image. But man is now trying to do the same and create a God in their image. That's why we have so many false religions, because man has that proclivity, the tendency to create gods in our own image. And when that happens, you go down fast. God is the creator, not us. We can't create anything. Oh, we can move stuff around, but the one who creates is God. We are the created. In fact, let's read Acts 17, 28. Go. For in him we live and move and have our being. Yeah, without God, we don't exist. We live and move and have our being. He is the creator. You see, what happens is God creates. He creates planets. And he put them in space. And he spoke and there was light, the Bible says. He's the creator. And he speaks and they obey his command. In fact, in the book of Psalms 33, it says this, he spoke and they stood still. God's the creator. He said to planets, rotate. They just rotate exactly as he tells them to. Stars blink, bing, 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 for millions of years. They do exactly as he says. They really don't have a will. They are under his command. And he then speaks. Now, how are they upheld? How do they just keep doing that? Let's read what Hebrews 1:3 says. Go. He upholds all things by the word of his. Yeah, he speaks and they stand fast. Now, they just blink God's glory for millions of years. But God created people in the same way to function the best when we serve his purposes or his commands, the borders, the parameters that he set up, when we choose to be servants of that, we then become the people he created us to be. We function the best. You see, but the stars and the planets, they don't have a will of their own. But they, as the Bible says, the rivers clap their hands and the mountains declare, the stars declare, the heavens and firmaments declare the glory of God. They reflect his glory. Now watch this. God created people in the same way you function best when you follow my design and choose to serve my purposes. Now, if you don't, there's going to be consequences. But if you do, there's going to be life. Now, here it is. God created people to reflect his glory, just like everything else that are inanimate objects or have no will. But here's why God says, I'm going to create people and they're going to give me the greatest glory of all, because he gives us choice that nothing else has. And when we choose to use our choice to serve the purposes of God, do you understand the amount of glory that comes? And that's why he says, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are the representation of God on this earth. Why? Because he has choice and he's used that to love us. He gives us choice and we use that to love him. Then we are people in his image or just like God. When we take our choice and we pervert it, we take, just like he's got choice and he uses it to love us, we take choice and we use it to reject him. Then his image is tarnished. And we move the other way. But God created people to serve his purposes. And so because he's given us choice, The greatest way that we can give glory to God is to use, would you write it in number two? We must choose whom we will serve. We must choose whom we will serve. Let's read what Joshua 24 says. Go. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose yourselves today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if we choose to reject him, God says, then I'll let you serve someone else. But you see, the bottom line is you got to serve somebody because that's how I created you. You're not a creator. You're the created and you function that way. See, you're not God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're not God. Yeah, yeah, we are not God. There is one, some of you are saying more than you should have said. Yeah. I told you that last night, honey. But creator is God. We are created. So God designed us to serve, but when he gives us choice, now we can choose who we will serve, God or the enemy. And if we choose to do it our way, then God will say, I'll give you over to your way so that you'll know the difference between serving me and serving the enemy. It's up to you, but we got to serve somebody. So that's that choice part, and we get to choose. Now, let me tell you why when we use that choice, it gives God such glory when we choose to serve or love him, because that's his image. He has choice. He chose to love us, even though we were not doing well. He gives us the same choice, and when we choose to love him who is all good, then we become more like God than you'll ever know. And then you begin to see truth and untruth. Because you see, as God created laws, like physical laws, the laws of gravity, the laws of inertia of motion, the laws of light, the laws of physics, aerodynamics, pneumatics, all of these laws God put in place, and there are parameters and borders and consequences when they're violated. That's, he set them up. He's not only created physical laws. You can't create other laws. You can move these or manipulate them a little bit, but basically you've got to work with them. But God has now given us not only physical laws, he gives us spiritual laws, laws about what's right and wrong. He set that up. Truth and deception or lying, or what is just or what is unjust. Laws about relationships that'll make healthy futures or impoverish relationships. When we violate God's will, it destroys futures. Or the blessing and the curse, the Bible says, or sin and death. Those are spiritual laws that he set up, and we serve the purposes of God. And when we do it correctly, choosing God's best, it leads to life. When we reject and violate, it leads to death. That's the spiritual laws that he's put in place. We've got to choose. We've got to choose. Now, here's where the devil comes in. And if you can understand this, I will be happy. And we will start to understand more about why God wants us to serve him. And it's not because he's just some dictator, but he's a loving God. You see, we're stewards. We're not creators. Just like the land that you bought and you're paying mortgage on, you don't own it. Oh, I do. I got a title deed. No, the land was there before you were born. The land's going to be there after you're dead. Well, what did I buy? You bought the right to steward it for a season. That's all you bought. You can make money off of it or you can squander it. You can build it up. You can destroy it. It's up to you. That's all you bought. But the land's going to be there after you're dead. You don't own nothing. Everything that you have, I don't own it. I steward it, but my clothes will wear out or my son will take it. my shoes, my car, everything will just wear out. I steward it. I can take care of it or I cannot take care of it. What did I buy? Just you bought utility of it, the stewardship of it for a season. So we're really created to be servants or stewards, not creators or owners. But here's the cool thing. Because God made us in his image and he loves his children so much, he's like, he is, just say, like, you got a butler that serves, or the servant of a multi-billionaire. And the multi-billionaire has homes all over the world, and he has one, it's a beautiful place along, you know, the coast somewhere, and it's a castle, hundreds of acres and forests and glens and waterfalls. He's got pools. He's got 5 Ferraris, 8 Maseratis, Corvettes, all kinds of stuff. And the billionaire says, you're the steward of this. You are the butler. You can use the pools. You can invite people over. You can drive the cars. Just take care of them now. But you have full use of the castle, the grounds. You can have parties, whatever you want. Just take care of everything. But all that I have is at your disposal. You steward it. Really? Yep. Wow, this is amazing. Like, it's all mine. Well, it's all mine, but you can steward it and use it. It's at your disposal. Wow. Well, you're the butler. And so you basically have run of the place. The billionaire has given you everything to steward, to use, to enjoy. Now, if you say, but I just don't want to steward it. You know, the human nature comes in. I don't want to just steward it. Oh, you got full use of it. You can do anything. Just take care of it. But you can have friends over. It's just basically at your disposal. Yeah, I don't want to just steward it, though. I want to own it. And I think, why is that in us? We want to own it. No. You're created to be a butler, and I've given you everything. You don't have the money to build this. You don't have the money to maintain it. I will do that. All you do is steward it. Because if you own it, you got to maintain it. It's going to break down. It's going to be gone. You have to have the money to actually get it in the first place. And you still don't create it. You just buy it from somebody else. So it's better just to steward. And I'll take care of you more than you'll ever know. It's all yours. And I'll care for you. No, I want to own it. Now, if even a little inkling of that's on the inside, you'll be very susceptible to the enemy that's going to lie to you. Now, watch this. The enemy smells that tendency in us like a shark smells blood, and he rushes in. And it's almost like the enemy will come in the form of a friend, and the enemy will say to you, hey, why don't you just take one of those Maseratis and just like trash it? Oh, no, I can't. I need to steward it. Okay, well, just give it to me then. Well, I have to ask my master first, because I know my master is very generous, but on these things, I have to ask my master, because I'm a steward over his things. Oh, man, come on. Every time I ask you for a Maserati or Corvette or one of your Mercedes or one of your Ferraris, you say, I got to ask the master. That's pretty dumb. Time for you to grow up. Oh, no, I have to ask the master first. Ask the master. Ask the master. That's all you tell me. Ask the master. It's time you grow up. Time you get free from him. Free? What do you mean free? Free! You can't do anything unless you ask the master. Well, yeah, because I'm a steward of... No, you don't have to ask the master. I don't? No, it's time for you to grow up. Be free. I want you to be free. You've just been serving to him for far too long. You got to be free. Free? Free! What does that mean? You can take anything and just use it the way you want to use it. Really? Yeah, that's freedom. That's freedom? Freedom. So just take it and trash it. Give me one. Oh, I can do that? Free. You're free. Okay. Now he takes one, destroys it, gives another away. And you see, he thinks he's free. But here's what you want to write in that bullet. Would you write in, the enemy's offer of freedom is never what it seems. I can do whatever I want to. I'm free. I live in America. I'm free. I don't have to do what God wants me to do. I don't have to serve his purposes. I'm going to serve my own because I'm free. Now, as soon as you take one of those cars and destroy it or give it away without asking the master, you no longer are a steward. You're owning something you never owned. It's not yours to own. And then when we do that, we think we're free. But because God created us to serve, watch this. All the enemy did was switch your allegiance from God to freedom. No, from God to whom? You now serve the devil under the guise of freedom. You're free. Do what you want. But you're serving him because he cackles and laughs in the background because now you're doing what he wants you to do. And he just sold you a bill of goods under this thing called freedom. And so many people bite on that. And we think we're free, but we're a slave to sin. And the consequences come after us. And the devil just cackles because you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. That's our DNA. Oh, we don't like it sometimes because we want to be owners, but that's that fleshly part of us. We aren't creators. We are the created. You got to settle that. But God is saying, but I will make all of heaven at your disposal. Everything that you want is yours. For the Bible says it this way, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, who's the king of the king? King of the kingdom. Well, the Lord is. But he make it at our disposal to enjoy. Really? Mm-hmm. But the devil will come in and say, you're not free. If you'll be free, then you'll enjoy. Come, you got to be free. Now, the very same temptation he used for Eve in the garden, he uses on us. Same thing out of Genesis 3. Eve walked into the garden. Hey, Eve, he said, eat that fruit on that tree. Oh, no, the master said that if I eat it, I'll die. The master, what are you, the master? Yeah, if I'm supposed to eat that, I better ask the master. Ask the master, ask the master. You don't need to ask the master nothing. Oh, yeah, I do. No, he said if I ate it, no, you won't die. It's time for you to be free to do whatever you want to. Really? Yeah. In fact, let's read what the devil said to her. Then you'll see the similarity even yet today. Let's read it. Go. You won't die, the serpent hissed. God knows that your eyes will be open when you eat it, and you'll become just like God, knowing everything, both good and... In other words, when you eat that, you'll be free from God. And you decide what's good and evil, not him. Don't let him set the parameters and borders and what's right and wrong. Make your own laws. You'll be God. The very same thing that caused Lucifer to fall is what he's trying to get you to buy into. You decide. And you hear it around today in our society. If it's wrong for somebody else, it's wrong for them. But it may not be wrong for you. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong for yourself. And God is saying, oh, no, no, I set all of these parameters and boundaries. The Creator sets kind of the laws. And then you choose to serve or reject. That's your choice. And you give God great glory when you use your choice to follow him. And even though the stars and the planets follow me without choice, I'm going to give you choice. And when you use choice, you give God greater glory and you reflect my presence to those that are struggling and hurting. I want you to be the light of the world. Oh, no, I'm not going to use my choice for that. I want to be free from that. And the devil says, yeah, be free. And when we disobey God, we basically become slaves of sin because all we did was switch our allegiance and he used the bait of freedom. Nah, you can decide for yourself, Eve, what's right or wrong. Really? Yeah, time for you to be free from the master. Free? Freedom! Oh, really? And everything goes south from there. And the devil cackled because now you're serving me, the devil says. Who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so when we choose not to be servants of the king and we serve the enemy under the guise of freedom, which is rampant in our country today, and it's a deception and a ruse that goes out every day, then what happens? Let's read what John 8:34 says. Go. Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a... Yeah, we become a slave of sin. So all we do is we switch allegiances, and the devil who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy is there. You see, what the devil wants to do is to dupe you and to give you that ruse under the guise of freedom. That's John 8:34. John 8:32 says this, but you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, when I choose to serve the Lord, it's a doorway into freedom to be who he created us to be, stewards of things of the kingdom of God. And everything he says I have is at your disposal. And when you do things my way, I will. Would you write in number 3? God takes care of his servants better than the world takes care of its kings. Because when you go through this door, that's where freedom is, because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The freest people in the world are servants of the Most High God, because we understand that he, through choice, chose to love us. And we who receive choice, when we choose to love him, we never look more like God when we're loving him. But you must choose this day whom you will serve and not hesitate between the two, because the truest freedom comes when we settle once and for all that I, like David, I, like Jesus, will be a servant of the Most High. There's no greater way to live. There's no more compelling a vision. There's no better direction and pathway than through the door of servanthood. I will be a servant of the Most High God, because He'll take care of you better than you'll ever realize. How many of you are glad God invites us to be servants of the Most High God?
You have just heard a message entitled David, Servant of God, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.